Scott, there was a lot of questions online about hot reload. So I wonder if you could talk specifically, two or three people asked about what's the difference with that little button where you said, have to click this to get hot reload. And then when you showed the version 6, it was just save to hot reload.
Yeah, so a couple things. The button, I'm not even sure the button actually stays in the product. The button was something we did in the build timeframe as a way to test the technology. We don't know if, most of the other techs work on file save. The cool thing about the button is it doesn't even require you to save the file. You can press the button without saving your change to the disk at all.
So the button is almost like a live watch. It's
a live watch. Save. Which means you don't have to undo your file and have, get complaint that you've changed the file or anything like that. And so whether we keep it is going to be based on the feedback we get from customers. If customers say that we should leave it, we might leave it. What I was showing you from command line was just saving the file makes the change. And that's because from command line, all that we have is, we're watching the files on disk.
And while you're on hot reload, where is that going to work in .NET? We saw it in Blazor.
The plan is to make it work in everything. So you actually saw it in more than just Blazor. Remember, if the hot reload demo was that was a WPF demo with all the shapes flying around. That was a Blazor demo. I mean, a WPF demo. I made it work in WinForms, WPF, console. ASP.NET, Blazor, Maui, it works everywhere.
All right, and Craig, live in the audience, has a question.
Hey, did you say that .NET 6 won't have support for Linux, or is that just .NET Maui?
I the desktop tech. So okay. We already support Linux. We're not taking any Linux support out. We have a huge amount of Linux usage with the tech today. There's no mean to take that out. What we said is, people always ask whenever we show .NET Maui, they ask me, hey, are you going to do desktop support for Linux? And then I ask, well, if I did it, would you actually use it? And they go, oh, I don't know. So there seems to be lots of interest, but I've only had one. I was talking to Richard Campbell last night about this. I've only had one customer that actually had a valid use for it. And so we will keep looking at it. I will say that there's some of the engineers in the team have a prototype of .NET Maui running on Linux today. I just don't know. We might release that as an experiment for people to try.
All right, so you have an interesting perspective because you see all of this stuff get built. I'm wondering if you could tell us what your favorite part of .NET 6 is, not just a feature, but how and why it's there.
So my favorite part of .NET 6 will be hot reload. That was something that we had identified at the end of .NET 5. So, we're always looking to see where we are competition-wise. When you see things like the minimal API stuff, that's because we had some people saying, hey, I tried .NET, and it seems really complicated compared to Node.js Express. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's a problem, and we should go look at that. And Marita Gaga on my team, researched a bunch of stuff there. But we had identified that the biggest challenge we had was, we got feedback from Blazor customers, especially saying the delay of making a change in Blazor and seeing it actually reflect in the browser was just too long. And then we went and looked and tried building some React apps. We built some Flutter apps. We built some Node apps and saw that perf problem there. And so the thing is, we've known this has been a problem for a while, and we had some amazing engineers go, oh yeah, it's not a big deal. I'm like, well, it's not a big deal, but it's 5 years later and it's still not a big deal. The crazy thing was, once we applied some of the really crazy engineers at Microsoft, Stephen Tobe, David Fowler, and whoever else I'm forgetting to mention, seeing the performance improvements start happening so fast, when we get serious about working on something, it's amazing what our team can actually pull off. And it was Stephen Tobe that actually showed me a WinForm app not long after we had really started the deep dive on this. But to me, that's probably my favorite part, Scott, is just the improvement. You saw how fast that Blazor app updated. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it's real-time updates. And you actually showed this too, but to clarify some people online, that's not just markup that's updating. You can actually recompile and push bits like an event handler or any of your code is being patched rather than being reloaded.
Right. And in both the demo I did at the very end with from command line, I changed to C#. As much as I changed the actual markup, in the demo where we were doing the weather app, we actually added the method to make the wind indicator move to the application. And so what we learned from this is we had tech like edit and continue, which did this with the debugger running before. We just let that tech rot a little bit. And by rot, what I mean is as we added new features to C#, edit and continue didn't understand them. So we've gone and added support for lambdas and a bunch of other stuff to this tech, and we will continue to add more. And so we're looking to see, what I would tell people, grab the previews, try the hot reload, and when it makes your app restart because it's something we don't support, tell me and tell us and let us know with feedback, and we'll go try to address the top areas so you can make more and more changes to your app without having to restart it.
Okay, thank you. So we've got a couple more questions on Learn TV, but also live in the audience. While Scott answers the next question, let me know, I can bring you the mic. Can you talk more about ahead of time compilation? It seems as if there are some pros and cons there. And when I see ahead of time compilation makes things faster, I then start to think, should I always do that? Or what are the pros and cons of ahead of time compilation? And maybe even a little bit deeper description of what ahead of time compilation is.
Yeah. So when you're running .NET or you're running Java, these are JITted languages, and that stands for just in time. JIT stands for just in time. And so what happens is when your .NET application is running and the code executes the first time, our compiler actually creates something called IL. And then as the app runs, we convert the IL to native machine code for whatever platform you're running your application on. So there's a cost there. We're actually jitting as the app runs, so we have to boot the jitter up and make that actually happen. There's another thing you can do called AOT, which is ahead of time compile, which gets rid of the jit because you don't have to jit because you've actually converted everything to machine language to start with. There's other challenges that brings. If you AOT, well, then you need a version for every platform. Because the application is coded to a particular architecture. So the most common place where you can AOT tech today in .NET is both in Xamarin, and which will continue into .NET MAUI. And that's because platforms like iOS don't support jitting on the platform. So we have to be AOT to run on an iOS device. Now, Blazor is the newest entry in .NET that is taking advantage of AOT. So you can run Blazor two ways, Blazor server, where when you act in the app, we send the request back to the server, it re-renders the page, and we send the delta back. Or you can run WebAssembly, which lets you have completely standalone web applications that can run totally disconnected from the internet because they are ahead of time compiled. So in .NET 6, we're adding AOT support to Blazor. And so the way Blazor works today is we actually run an interpreter in WebAssembly, which means your C# performance is way slower than it would be if you ran it in like a desktop application, because we're using an interpreter, not a jitter. So we are going to offer the option in a Blazor app to AOT it in .NET 6, which means you can pre-compile the entire application into native WebAssembly, which will give you much faster startup times and stuff like that. The negative is going to be it's going to make your app bigger, because native code is bigger than IL are that we use in .NET today. In the future, I would hope in .NET 7, we're going to let you decide which parts of your app we AOT so we don't make you pay a huge cost. It's like the only thing that really matters for the AOT stuff is the areas that you're doing really tight loops or doing math or stuff like that. So you could easily not AOT 80% of the app and only AOT 10 or 20%. We don't give you that dial in .NET 6, but we will in .NET 7.
That's great. So I'm still trying to wrap my head around all of the options. It feels like then today, the best option is for the most case, just let the jitter run for me. You said something that I hadn't thought about. If I compile ahead of time, I actually have to ship to the native device. But if I ship and let the JIT control, then that just sort of happens for me. I get that for free. And that's
right.
the pros and cons.
You can build one thing that can run everywhere. One DLL that would actually work everywhere out. I will, back to the question, there is something you can do today. Here's an ASP.NET Core app. And let's make it just, sure, it doesn't really matter what kind of app I run today. There's another option today. For anything other than a Blazor app, a Blazor WASM app, or a Xamarin app, there's actually another option. These options, unfortunately, are so hidden that most people will never find them on my list of things to fix. But if I go do a publish, and what I'll do is I'll say I want to publish to a folder. Sure. That creates a publish profile. And in my publish profile, there's some settings. And if you look here, I've got a couple of publish options that people might not be aware of. We might make them available here. We don't.
But I can see in a scenario that you may want to have different settings on your desktop if you're developing and you want that inner loop to go fast versus when you publish and you actually deploy something, you can do something different at deployment time.
Well, we have another feature, and I thought it was in the publish settings, and it's not. You have to just edit the project file manually to do it, which is making me unhappy. We support something called Ready to Run as well. And Ready to Run is a feature where we will pre-compile more of your application for you. It's kind of a mix between, it's not full AOT and it's not full JIT. It's in the middle somewhere. So you can build an application, a .NET application, and turn Ready to Run on. It'll make your app a little bigger, but it will start faster and it will execute the beginnings faster because it's actually already pre-compiled for you a little bit. So there's a it's just Google .NET Ready to Run. And you can see how to turn that on.
And that's probably out of project settings, so that's great for something like a class library. But yeah, I'm sure there's, again, pros and cons to that as well.
As I said, here you go. There's a whole article on it here.
Okay. Yeah, docs.microsoft.com, search Ready to Run.
And you can see that I can just set publish ready to true, ready to run to true. This will make your app a little bigger on disk, but it'll start faster. So we have lots of options.
All right, switching subjects just a little bit to Unity, Andrew has a question.
Yeah, so we use Unity to build a lot of mobile apps to take advantage of some of the AR capabilities and 3D capabilities. And I don't know how much you know about Unity or involved with it, but as you mentioned, it does use C# and .NET, but not always the latest version, and it's a little bit different in how it operates compared to like a pure, you know, .NET core project, for example. Do you have much insight as to how much you guys work with Unity or how much that's gonna maybe become more streamlined in the future and Unity become more .NET compliant, for lack of a better word?
Right, so Unity, that's a great question. We do talk to the Unity folks quite a bit. And they've actually, if you look at their blog, they actually blogged. They did a prototype maybe a year or so ago where they actually got Unity running on core. The reality is they have a big, huge platform, and they don't make huge platform changes on a regular basis for obvious reasons. But we are working on getting them to what I would call one VCL. That is the same base class libraries across everything that we're doing on our side. And there's an eventual path to .NET 6 or whatever version it'll be when they're ready. So it's coming, but I think you're looking at still maybe 1 to 1.5 years out, and that's just I'm guessing a little bit, but they move slow, and they move slow for a good reason. They have lots of games and stuff on their platform, and it will obviously be a semi-breaking change for them when they make the change. But yes, I look forward to the day that we actually have, you can take advantage of all the newest C# features. That's the biggest thing you're missing right now is some of the new goodies that we put in C#, and you're missing some of the improvements we put in the BCL that they don't have. But we are working with them, and there is a plan.
Sorry, did you have a follow-up, Andrew?
No, that was it.
Oh, great, thanks, Scott. Okay, so the next thing we have is talking back to Maui, deploying to Mac. or building something for Mac, but on Windows. If you have code that's write once, run anywhere, do you have to have a Mac to test it?
Oh, definitely. You need to test on whatever the native platform is. So one of the things we have in Visual Studio today, if you don't even know this, you can build iOS apps in Visual Studio today without having a Mac. You still need a Mac to publish, but we have a feature where you can basically take any iOS device, plug it into the side of your laptop. You have to have a free Apple developer account. You have to have iTunes installed on the computer. But if you meet those requirements, we can actually let you run on the device directly on your Windows app, Windows PC, without having a Mac there for that. To put the app in the actual store, you have to go through a Mac to do that. So on a Windows PC, you can try the Android stuff out. You can try the iOS stuff out. The Mac one will be a little more challenging because you'll have to copy it to a Mac to actually see what it looks like on the Mac. Maybe we do something there. It just depends on what people do with the tech. We don't know yet, but.
Brian wanted me to do this.
Sorry, I was looking at a few things. There's a ton of interest around hot reload, and so this will be our last question. Is there any advice that we can do ahead of time to write code so that it's better available for hot reload, or everything is available? So we talked about the migration assistant. If I have .NET 3.1 and I bring that up to 6, is there any heads up or something that people should use to make changes to the code now so that it will be easier for hot reload, or everything just works?
The hope is that everything will work. The big challenge on hot reload is the things that don't work. And if you think about it, there's a main in your program. And like a great example is this minimal web API that I showed.
Right.
I'll bring the slide up. Let's go back to slides. Okay. This app, if you change hello world to say hello dev intersections, well, hot reload can't help because this app has already run that entire code once and we're done. And so this is a case where we'll have to restart the process. Restart the application. And we're already prototyping how to restart this application without restarting the process. So we can't keep your state, but we can still make the change happen much faster. So let's say you change something, and this will make sense to you, Scott. If we change something in startup.cs, well, that code's already run.
Right.
It's not going to run again until you restart the application. So we need a mechanism to let you restart in cases where you've already run startup code that will never execute again anyways. And those are the primary things to think about. Like in any of the UI stuff I showed, it all worked because there was loops happening.
Right.
And I was able to change code inside the loop. But if there's code that's been executed one time and it'll never execute again, you'll have to restart the application. So I can't think of anything to prepare for.
That's actually helpful. I mean, not everything is reloadable because it's already been jitted. Like that hello world is the hard-coded string that the compiler already knows about.
It's already run. We're right at app.run.
Yeah.
It's not going to jump back up and try to rerun line 5 again.
Right.
And so you just have to think about it in your head. Is this code that's going to run again? The UI apps especially, this makes total sense because, you hit the page again and again and right. again. And each time you hit the page, we run the page again. As long as you have code that executes, that's the code that you can change.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott Hunter, for joining us on Learn TV, and everyone in the audience, thank you for coming out to participate. We certainly appreciate your time. And for everyone online, stick around. Please enjoy the rest of the conference. Thanks.